Hello and welcome to a special edition of Tech Weekly coming to you from the US. My name's Bobby Johnson and for the next week I'm going to be your guide on the ground at two of the world's biggest technology events, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas and Macworld in San Francisco. Now the recession might be biting technology on the backside, but we're still expecting or hoping for a lot of news and announcements over the next few days, as well as some interviews with some of the industry's most powerful figures. We've decamped from the rainy streets to my temporary podcasting studio, also known as the Living Room, to have a look at what's coming up with my guests Kat Hannaford, gadget queen and news editor of T3.com, and Paul Carr, geek, gadabout and Guardian columnist. Irritation to the stars, I think. That's how we'll call you, Paul. So welcome both. How's the jet lag going?
Yeah, fairly well now. Thankfully, all gone.
And how about you, Paul?
I've been here for a few days, so the hangover's still here, but yeah. But the jet lag's fine.
All acclimatised. Excellent. So first up, we've got Macworld, which is starts really Tuesday evening UK time, so just a few hours away for those who have just tuned in straight away. Now, this obviously is a bit weird this year, isn't it? Because you know, first of all, Steve Jobs' health seems to be the only thing anyone's actually talking about. And then who knows what we're gonna see. It seems like it might be a bit of a damp squib. So let's start, Paul, maybe first. What are you looking forward to seeing? What do you hope happens?
I don't know anything. I really think this might be the year when everyone just like forgets there was even a Macworld. It doesn't look like they're gonna announce anything particularly exciting. Yeah, like you say, Steve Jobs not being dead is about the most exciting news at the moment. But yeah, and I don't know. I'm hoping that they'll pull something huge out of the bag so everybody who complained that Jobs wasn't doing a keynote looks really foolish and stupid. But I don't know what that'll be.
Any ideas, Kat? What would be the thing that they could pull out their arse that would make you...
I'm not sure. I mean, there's been next to no hype, really, and we haven't seen any leaked photos this time. So I'm not really sure. I mean, the rumours are certainly suggesting perhaps a new Apple TV, which is probably long overdue. But I'm thinking it's going to be more along the line of software, which, you know, you can get excited about, perhaps. But personally, it's going to make me snore.
Yeah, so I mean, some of the other rumours going around, there seems to be this constant chatter about whether we're going to see an Apple netbook. Mm. Personally, I'm a utter cynic on that front. I think there's no chance of it happening, but maybe it would. What do you think?
I don't know. Again, yeah, there is. I think people are just looking for something, anything to grip onto. I don't know. There doesn't seem to be, like you say, there's no leaked. Mm. There's nothing been leaked. There's no. It just feels a bit of sort of a half-assed rumour, to be honest. It'd be nice. I'd quite like one, I suppose. Mm. But
I think everyone would like a netbook, perhaps if it's, you know, similar looks to the MacBook Air, but sort of a bit smaller. But I mean, it just sort of defeats the purpose of the iPhone and what Apple's been saying about the iPhone, that it's a pocket-sized computer. And yeah. So why would they instantly launch a rival to the iPhone? It just doesn't make sense.
They should announce just for fun a huge iPod Touch. Just like bring one out. it just is everything that an iPod Touch, but just a bit bigger.
So a tablet then.
Yeah, exactly that. And just, but like, it's totally useless. You can't put it in your pocket. It scratches easily. It's just the most annoying consumer gadget ever.
Maybe the Microsoft Surface. Yeah. An Apple Surface.
Let's imagine a Surface mixed with a first generation iPod or something. That would probably be big enough and clunky enough, wouldn't it?
I'd love that. I'd buy that. The great thing about Apple is that there are people who'd buy it anyway. Mm. There's just queues still around the block.
Well, Microsoft charges $10,000 for the Surface, so what would Apple charge for that? Maybe $20,000? Yeah, exactly. $30,000?
There'd have to be a premium, wouldn't there? That's a good point, though, Paul, because you know, you've made one for a change. I've been talking to some people. There are the diehards, the Mac fans who come here every year, and they're going to see what they're going to see. You know, the kind of the big reward for going to the last Macworld that Apple's going to be at. I mean, it sounds like, well, certainly they're not going to get Steve Jobs giving a speech, even if they've paid, you know, $1,000, $1,500 for a ticket to the keynote.
That's kind of brilliant, though. I do love the idea that people have spent that much money and are now. I mean, you just think, if spending that much money is insane. You wouldn't spend that much money seeing the Rolling Stones, for Christ's sake. People are paying that to see what they thought was Steve Jobs. They deserve to lose that money. That's my opinion. These people, it's a tax on the stupid and the easily pleased.
Do you think it's the right way to say goodbye if this is the last time we're going to see an event like this?
I have to say no. I mean, I think it's really disappointing. And, you know, as you said, it's disappointing for the people who have actually shelled out money from their own pockets. But, you know, it can't be helped. I mean, Steve is obviously unwell and, you know, your health, you know, comes first, obviously.
It's not what Scoble and that guy in the yogurt shop said.
said it was absolutely fine. The fact that yogurt shop employees are now our number one source for news is a slightly depressing fact.
I love that. Why do we not have one here for the podcast? We should have a yogurt store employee just telling us how accurate our rumours are.
Oh, this is brilliant. I'll get one in.
Get one in. That would be great.
Next time round. So, so maybe, you know, Macworld might not be everything we hope and dream about. But,
or anything at all.
Or anything. So, but we'll be finding out soon enough. In the meantime, you can keep up with the keynote and the news from Apple, whatever it may be, by going to the Guardian website, where we've got a cornucopia of blogs, videos and news reports. I'm here outside the Moscone Conference Centre at 6:30 on the bitterly cold night before Apple's final Macworld keynote. Now, there may be more than 14 hours until the big event, but a few intrepid fans are already queuing up.
My name is Alex. I'm from Dubai. It's my first time at Macworld. And it's probably the most, well, I guess not the most outrageous thing we've done. We've opened up 2 stores in 1 day. That would probably be the craziest thing we've done. But the best thing that could happen is they announce a car, because I'm looking for a hardtop convertible that integrates with my iPhone completely. So if you can build the interface, fantastic. Worst thing that could happen is, I don't know, they sell themselves to someone else? I don't know. I'm a little disappointed that Steve Jobs won't be here, because I actually made plans to come here, you know, to watch him. However, life moves on. You know, I've now learned that it's going to be the last keynote that Apple's going to be on, so it's not a lost cause that I'm here. It's exciting.
My name is Daniel. I came from Edmonton to come to my first Macworld. I'm planning to camp here until the doors open.
What would be the best thing that could happen for you?
Some kind of 12-inch iPod touch type device, iPhone.
I'm Nick Linsender. I'm from Santa Barbara. This is my first Macworld, and possibly my last, because if Apple's not presenting at other Macworlds, it's not necessarily 100% worth it to make the trip all the way down here. I was the first person in line for the iPhone 3G when it launched. I waited about 22 hours for that, so this is about 5 hours more than that. This is a lot colder in a different environment than my hometown, so yeah. I'm hoping for new cinema displays, no new prosumer cinema displays for desktops, new Mac Minis. What I think would be bad for Apple is if they make iWork in the cloud, like Mobile Me, like making an online application. But that's been some of the rumors. I was a little disappointed at first that Steve wasn't going to be here. Steve may, you know, may make an appearance. One more thing.
Okay, so now, let's imagine we got the Macworld keynote out of the way. We're all trooping down to Las Vegas.
You've woken up.
To see us. It's pretty much the biggest show that Las Vegas hosts, and it's one of the premium technology shows in the world. And so we're looking for big speeches from Steve Ballmer from Microsoft. He's stepping in for Bill Gates, who isn't dead, but is no longer with CES.
Can we get the yogurt shop guy in on this?
Retired dead.
I'll give him a call now. But we're also going to see Howard Stringer from Sony. We're going to see Intel and Cisco, the usual suspects of kind of boring technology conferences.
The Counting Crows getting out there. Lining the Intel party, I discovered.
Ooh, yeah. I see Diana Ross and Stevie
Ross.
Wonder are
Ooh.
Also making appearances. But what are we going to see? I mean, so I've been talking to people involved in the conference, and they're saying, you know, we're going to see it toned down this year. People aren't sending, they might be exhibiting on a large scale, but they won't be sending as many bodies out there. It's going to be a kind of a recession hit version of itself, you know, a kind of slightly ethereal and a little bit ghostly. So are we going to see no launches? What are the products and gadgets and stuff that we're all looking forward to?
Well, I think this CES, it's going to be disappointing, more so than last year. And from what I've heard, it's just going to be rolling out technology that we've seen over the past couple of years, like 3D TV. That's been mentioned quite a bit for this CES. But that's technology that's been around for years. And when it comes down to it, it's not really that accessible. It's not something that I'd want to use in my lounge room. And I don't really want to see, you know, EastEnders in 3D. I think it's possibly the worst thing I can imagine.
What about, what are we going to see from Sony? Because last year, the big story was Blu-ray versus HD DVD. You know, who's going to win? Sony was able to crow pretty much straight away.
Well, before the show started with Warner.
Yeah, exactly. So Warner dropped out of HD DVD and kind of hauled it below the waterline, and it went down. I mean, Kat, you were at the Toshiba press conference last year. What was that like?
It was like being at a wake. It was very sad. I mean, I actually filmed the whole thing because I thought there's some YouTube gold here, and surprisingly enough, there was. it was. I mean, the spokespeople, they just didn't really know what to say, but they were still, you know, touting HD DVD as you know, being the superior format, which was quite sad because by then everyone knew that Blu-ray was going to succeed. So a month later, when it was finally announced that they were pulling out, you know, it was sort of like, well, why didn't you do this 6 months ago? You know, that's when we thought it was going to happen.
So here's the problem, though, is that Sony, that was a big victory for Sony last year, and they all had smiles on their faces. The intervening 12 months since then has actually been fairly crap for Blu-ray, and nobody, you know, the sales figures aren't doing what analysts want and what people are predicting. So we're going to see Howard Stringer get up and show us something and try and convince people that there's a future in Sony, which is a company that's struggling as well. I mean, there's some rumours about laptops and some new gizmos they're going to be bringing out.
Yeah, there have been some rumours about a Sony Vaio netbook. I mean, of course, they haven't announced one yet. So, you know, they will do one day, but I'm not sure if it will be at this CES. But the rumours are certainly pointing to a $1,000 netbook, which is really high. It's more than double what other netbooks are priced at. It's going to be about 8 or 9 inches, of course. But, I mean, you know, for $1,000, that's priced out of the netbook, you know, categories.
So yeah, it's not really a netbook at all. It's just a little laptop, which is kind of, normally you pay more for a little laptop. The whole point of a netbook is that it's just kind of stripped down, easy, you know, you can buy it and give it to your gran or whatever and they can surf the internet.
But then that's very Sony, isn't it? Putting a huge price tag on something and sort of pricing it out of everyone else's pockets.
Yeah. So is there anything that you're looking forward to, anything you hope is going to happen?
I'd like to see. It's going to be interesting to see how optimistic people are, and how I think it's going to be like an interesting sort of bellwether for the industry, just across everything. It all, like, if it feels sad and, like you said, you know, sort of ghostly and everything, then I think it really doesn't bode well for the next sort of few years. Whereas if, you know, if people are releasing interesting things and if there's a sort of sense of energy, then yeah. So really, I'm not looking for any product in particular. I'm just looking for a bit of sort of oomph, a bit of something, that, because everybody just sounds, I mean, we're even sounding down.
Yeah, well, you know,
everyone's depressed.
It's in our best interest now to be positive.
I know,
and to
like, that doesn't really cost all that much. You can bring positivity without you know, much incurring much of a cost. But I think if you walk around and everyone feels sad and not having the sort of big players, the big people from the big players there, feels a bit bad as well. It just all feels very sad.
Well, we are, of course, going to be graced with the presence of the bullet-headed monkey boy Steve Ballmer, who's going to, I hope he's going to dance and shout. Oh. And
it's going to be my highlight for CES, I think, seeing his first keynotes there.
He's going to share quite a lot of stage time with Robbie Bark, who's the kind of vice president of entertainment and devices, I think, which is, you know, Microsoft's Zune and Xbox division. Now, obviously, Zune, with its little slip it had just before the new year of failing to work, which is, you know, the blue screen of death on your Zune.
For the 9 people who own one.
Yeah, well,
I own one.
Well, sorry, 10 people who own one.
Did yours stop working?
No, it was fine.
Okay, yeah. It wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
So you were one of the people who bought the version after. Or whatever, yeah. you were one of the 3 people who bought the second round.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway. So we're really looking for a bit of pizzazz from somewhere, a bit of a sense of positivity and optimism. I think, I mean, to me, what I think is going to be interesting is seeing if it's a negative cycle this year, is how it impacts next year. Because obviously everybody had already booked their exhibition space. They'd already kind of got their plans in motion before this year's CES. You know, they probably booked at least 12 months in advance. Yeah, so do you think the fact that we're going to see... I mean, the exhibition space itself is only shrinking slightly. Mm. But, you know, maybe we're not... You could book a hotel at CES, which is unheard of, really. Yeah. So there aren't going to be so many people there. I mean, do you think people are blaming the recession to get away with their faults elsewhere, or is it a genuine problem?
I think that's as possibly. I mean, it's, you know, the credit crunch is definitely a scapegoat with everything. But I mean, I think personally, 2009 is going to be a gap year of electronics, and it always would have been, even, you know, without the recession. I just think that, you know, we've reached a point with technology over the last 5 years. It's been advancing so rapidly, and we've sort of just reached this, you know, this stable sort of section. And
plateau of creativity.
Yeah, at the plateau. So, and I think it won't be until probably end of 2010, going on to 2011, until we'll actually start to see some new technologies. I think that right now we've sort of reached the peak, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. The fact is that, like, the products people would be showcasing now, they haven't just invented them in the last, you know, a few months. So it does have nothing to do with the credit crunch. Although the credit crunch will certainly mean that people who had nothing to announce will just sort of send, you know, the work experience kit, and, you know, the credit crunch will definitely impact the feeling there. But no, you're right. I mean, it won't affect what's being shown.
So I just want to try and end on an upbeat note here, because otherwise
Counting Crows are doing the Intel party. It's going to be brilliant.
If you could see your dream gadget, maybe there, what would be the thing that would get you to part with your money at either Macworld or CES?
I definitely want... I mean, like, we were joking before about the sort of Apple netbook. That, if there is one... I mean, not least because I need to buy a new Mac, so that would be great. But yeah, a decent netbook that actually does the job and isn't priced completely out of the market and is just good and works, that would excite me a great deal.
I think I'd like Sony to announce maybe a couple of new OLED panels, but we're talking 40-inch OLED. I mean, currently they've got something the size of a postcard. So,
How much would a 40-inch OLED cost exactly?
Well, so I think under £2,000, and I'd be happy. I think I'd probably buy one if it was under £2,000. But of course, it's not going to happen, and they're probably never going to launch anything that's over, what, 10 inches?
Dude, if you're prepared to buy a TV that costs that much, I am definitely changing jobs and moving to T3. Thank you very much. So hopefully we'll have maybe some of that exciting news to bring everyone.
We'll bring it. We'll bring the excitement.
And
we'll
but
make stuff up.
Whatever happens, you're going to hear it from us, because we're bringing you not one but four podcasts this week. Yes, Tech Weekly is going to be moving to Tech Daily just for a few days, so you'll have a new show to download into your ear holes every single morning, UK time. Until then, when hopefully we'll have that big news from Macworld, thanks to guests Kat Hanford and Paul Carr. I'm Bobby Johnson. Thank you for listening.